This is the Jeff Merrick Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Okay, welcome to it. Once again, the Jeff Merrick Show across the Sportsnet Radio Network, simulcast on 360. There you are. And wherever you get your podcast. I don't know about you, but I'm at the phase and stage of my life where insults on Twitter are more than just amusing acts. You welcome them and enjoy them. Matt, do you want to hear a good one? I just got about 20 seconds ago.
Oh, you're a better man than I, but
I love it. As I get older, I like people insulting me, and I really enjoy grumpy people. More on that in another show. So, Paul Barron submits this one to me on Twitter. This is good. Leafs with the cup. Carlton saves a kid who fell from the second deck at Scotia. Wendell is named next Prime Minister of Canada. Here's Merrick. Quote, we start today with the news the San Jose Sharks have changed the color of their lines in the dressing room trash cans. Here's Friege to discuss.
You know, the thing that gets me the most.
No, it's funny, dude. It's funny. It's flat out funny.
I know, but like, it's funny because people legit think that you and this show hate the Toronto Maple Leafs,
don't
which is
worry
so funny.
About it. It's funny. You don't need to analyze it. It's just funny. Just enjoy it. Just enjoy it.
Like I said, you're a better man than I.
It's a good smash at your boy. Don't worry, it's good. Although I am going to talk to Frazier, but the San Jose Sharks are good for too. I got a name for you, everybody. I got a name.
It's a good one.
So we'll see how this one goes over. Elliot's going to stop by in about 5 minutes' time. Jason Greger, I swear Greger's going to be on the show today. I promise.
We're working on it.
This isn't like Kimmel always promising Matt Damon so many years ago. Oh, sorry, we ran out of time. We couldn't get Matt Damon on. Jason Greger starring as Matt Damon here on this program. How many times were we supposed to have him on this week? Twice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oops.
We swear we're going to have him on. It's going to work this time.
Mm-hmm.
So bottom of this hour, Greger's going to stop by?
As far as I know.
Talk Oilers?
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Talk Stu Skinner?
Yeah, I would assume so.
All right. Jason Greger's coming up at the bottom of the hour. John Bartlett. My old buddy, my old Toronto Marlies broadcast partner.
Former Newmarket Hurricane, right? Were they the Hurricanes at that point?
Didn't he play for the Aurora Tigers?
Maybe it was Aurora,
He was a goaltender for the Aurora Tigers, former play-by-play voice of the Barrie Colts of the OHL, and he had just finished up there, and that's where I met him. We did Marlies games together. No surprise, John ended up calling national games.
Vaughn Raiders.
Was he not Aurora Tigers?
I don't know. It says Vaughn Raiders. I'm assuming it's the same John Bartlett, so... Well, I guess we're going to have to find out.
See previous tweet. We start today with news of the Aurora Tigers. We got two teams facing elimination. One of them, Tampa Bay Lightning. You and I are going on about the Aurora Tigers. John Bartlett from the NHL and Sportsnet Hockey Night in Canada will talk about the Jets and the Avs. Also get his thoughts on Bob Cole. I think this is a time where everybody is, and rightfully so, weighing in and having a thought and sharing their feelings on the passing of Bob Cole yesterday at the age of 90. I would imagine Hockey Night in Canada will do something really special for Bob Cole. I'll talk to Elliot about Bob Cole in a couple of minutes. Like, I'll ask everybody. Jason Greger is going to talk about Bob Cole a little bit as well. Certainly Bart's will. No surprise there. And last night, John Cooper, head coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning, after the game last night. So they lose to the Florida Panthers. And their backs are against the wall. No tomorrow. All of that stuff. Here's John Cooper after the game, and you understand how difficult it is for a coach to calm down and articulate something as well as John Cooper does in this clip where he talks about the late, great Bob Cole. Here's John Cooper.
Just before I go, I'd be remiss, and I know it's tough to have this. I was hoping it's going to be a little bit better of a situation because we just lost a game in the playoffs, but I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the passing of Bob Cole. And I know it has nothing to do with this game, but it kind of does, because I'm probably not coaching in this league if it wasn't growing up and having a passion for this game because of the voice of that man. I was a little kid, and I used to go down and play hockey by myself. And it was all because of the emotion that Bob Cole brought to this game. And he's the Wayne Gretzky of announcers. My passion for this game is built on what Bob Cole said. And every night watching Hockey Night in Canada, I'd turn that thing on at 5 o'clock just to hear his voice. And I had the pleasure in 2018, he was going to retire the next year, and he came down to Montreal, and he came down to the room, and I'm not starstruck that often, but I was starstruck when he came down. And he was such a wonderful man. And in the sacred grounds of the Bell Center in Montreal, after our pregame skate, it was just the two of us. And he took me, I don't know, God, how old he would have been at the time. And he took me upstairs in the gondola in Montreal where he called the game. And I got to put a headset on where he was, where he called games. And I don't know if, yeah, that was it. And it was one of the coolest moments I'd ever met in my, had a part of my life, was to stand there with him. And so to all his friends and family and to everybody that grows up loving this game, I'm going to miss that man, because he was a superstar in this sport. And again, my condolences to his family.
What's the old line, Matty? When a giant tree falls, there is no obvious replacement.
Yeah.
Like, I think everybody who's a hockey fan, like I grew up, going back to like my earliest memories, are all with Bob Cole. Mm-hmm. Soundtrack of hockey for a lot of us. Anyone my vintage, certainly anyone older, Bob worked at Hockey Night in Canada going back to 1969 on radio, transition to TV in 1973. We'll get everyone's thoughts on the program here as we're seeing this outpouring of adoration for Bob Cole. Like, we've seen this before, but it's mainly when hockey players pass away. When Jean Béliveau passed away, everyone took a knee. When Gordie Howe passed away, everyone took a knee. And it's the same thing now with Bob Cole. So we'll get everyone's thoughts on Bob Cole here in a couple of moments. As we bring in Elliot Friedman from Hockey Night in Canada and 32 Thoughts. Hello, Friege. How are you today?
Oh, good. Sorry. I'm just stepping out of practice.
Okay.
I went to the practice today, so I just wanted to step out so the noise isn't too bad.
No problem.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. So we played the John Cooper clip from last night, and I understand how tough that must have been for John Cooper. He's probably pretty emotional. His team's now down 3-0 at the hands of the Florida Panthers. Tough game last night for them to lose. Backs against the wall. This could be, you know, for, you know, the first round exits in back-to-back seasons. Question mark about the future. And the first thing he does is he talks about Bob Cole. You and I talked plenty about Bob Cole on the podcast that came out this morning. You talked about Bob Cole last night on television. I would imagine this weekend, you know, everyone at Hockey Night in Canada will have their thoughts, share their thoughts on Bob Cole, the passing of Bob Cole, and memories of Bob Cole as well. When you look around, like I was on CBC morning today with Heather Hiscox talking about Bob Cole, like you can't go anywhere without someone having a Bob Cole story or sharing something with you. You know, I was DMing with David Salter today, and he was, you know, telling stories about how Bob talked to him about, you know, the California Seals offering him the play-by-play job, but he wanted to stay at CBC and work his way up the ladder. He was tempted. Frank Selke Jr., I would have imagined, would have been the general manager at that point. And he said no, wasn't going to uproot from Newfoundland to go to Oakland to be the play-by-play voice of the Seals. But, like, all the one of the nice things about this is all of the great Bob Cole stories are coming out. Do you have a thought on what we're seeing here? Because we see this with hockey royalty. I mentioned Jean Béliveau when he passed, Gordie Howe when he passed as well. Do you have a thought on what we're seeing here around Bob Cole?
I do, and it's a moment of levity, okay?
Okay.
One of my good friends called me this morning, and he said, Elliot, when it's your time, people are not going to be this nice.
That's a great line. good on your buddy. But from all
this is why I've been friends with these guys for 30 years, because they keep me in check. No, you know what? Like, I think the nicest thing is that when you work with someone, or you're friends with someone, you have a perception of how they are, but you don't know if other people see it that way, right? And yeah. I think the good thing about this is that for those of us who worked with Bob, we saw it this way, and the really wonderful thing about it is we're seeing that the public felt the same way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's never unanimous. There's always going to be, not everybody is going to see everything the same way, but in this day and age, the social media day and age, Jeff,
yeah,
this is as unanimous as it gets. It's it's really wonderful to see. It really is special.
It is. And all the guests on the program today, I'll ask them questions about Bob Cole before we get on to talking about hockey. And I would imagine everyone on Hockey Night this weekend will have much more to say about Bob Cole. So last night, now we have two teams with their backs against the wall. Where would it be more disastrous if it ends in a sweep, the Islanders or the Lightning?
Oh, boy. Geez, I don't think anybody likes that. It's a good question. First of all, I loved John Cooper last night.
Yes.
I wish, as you know, the moment the game ends, we go and we record the podcast, and sometimes we miss some of the things that happen in the postgame.
Yeah.
I just loved Cooper's message about, if you don't believe we can come back, don't show up to work.
Yeah.
I love that. Like, that is awesome. That is exactly the right message that should be sent. I don't think either team would like it, but if I had to answer it, Jeff, I would probably say the Islanders. Mm-hmm. Like the Lightning, as much as they would despise losing 4-0, and especially to that team, that group has won something before.
Yeah,
like that's a 2-time Stanley Cup champion, a 3-time finalist. They wouldn't like it, but you'd look at them and say, you know what? It was a group that had a great run together, and there's a lot for them to be proud of. I think the Islanders, who also had a pretty good run, you forget, even though they didn't make a Stanley Cup final, you're hoping you're still going in the right direction. Like, they've committed to a lot of guys for a lot of time, and even Carolina is a better team than they are, and I don't think anybody would be surprised that Carolina wins the series. I think a sweep would be very hard for those guys to deal with.
When you look at that Tampa-Florida game, first of all, I think it was like 138 or 140 hits, maybe even more than 140 hits. Like, are you getting...
I heard it was a record. I heard it was a record.
Well, it seems like, I mean, both teams were wrecking balls out there. Like, every single
shift. Chris Jastra, John Cockatosin said it was, it was a record.
Is that going to be your new name for him from TNT? Our buddy whose name you keep butchering?
What a great movie Fletch is. Again, I'm old. I know. I know a lot of young people don't know Fletch, but that John Cockatosin thing is fantastic from that movie.
A record. Well, it's no surprise because that series has, outside of the final scores, the games have been really good. Like, you look at this and you say, all right, Florida's up 3-0. But when you look at the balance of play and how there's been, lead changes, Tampa finally grabs a lead yesterday, and Stamkos is scoring clutch goals, and that's another conversation for if the Tampa Bay Lightning gets swept here. But these games have been close. Like, no one's blowing each other out here. And they've been really physical. They've been really violent. And it's great to see that the Battle of Florida is very much on. I just don't want to see Tampa take too much of a step back here. Like, I don't know about you, but I want to see these two teams at the height of or as close to the height of their powers for the next 5 years. And I want them to play in the playoffs every year.
I don't think Tampa will take a step back because I just don't think they'll allow it. Mm. Like Julian Brisebois, because he's not a guy who's really out there. He likes the quiet time, but he's a killer. He's a very fierce, very determined competitor who, like I said, he's low key, but he makes hard decisions. He will make hard decisions that he feels help his team win. And I would expect no different from the Lightning this offseason. I think that will definitely happen. And the other thing, too, is, and, with obviously there's been a lot of talk about Stamkos.
Yeah.
Hedman, they can extend Hedman this summer. So that'll be another interesting conversation to see what kind of happens there. But the other thing is Tampa has turned itself into a destination.
Oh, yeah.
So the one thing he knows is that he will be able to attract players to play there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious to see, how, and plus they still got Point, they still got Kucherov, they still got Vasilevsky, they still got a lot of a really good core. You know that he's thinking about, I don't like this. And how are we going to make it better and fast?
One more follow-up quickly on Tampa. Is this series different if Mikhail Sergachev is healthy?
I I don't know. I mean, I think Florida's been the better team.
Yeah.
Like maybe it's 2-1 or something like that, but I still think Florida's the better team. Obviously, Sergachev's a good player. He makes a difference.
Sure.
Florida's the better team.
Thoughts on Carolina and the New York Islanders here. I mean, this Carolina Hurricanes team, and again, we always wonder, you know, who's the star of the game, who wins it, who loses it. It seems like the Carolina Hurricanes have wrecked Elliott, wrecked the Islanders' goaltenders, and the latest victim is Ilya Sorokin.
Yeah, that was wild to watch last night.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a big Sorokin guy. You know, as I said on the pod today, that now becomes a summer project.
Yeah.
For as long as the Islanders last in the playoffs. And you know what? Like, I really hope the Eastern Conference playoffs aren't over on, like, Tuesday.
Might be.
Like, you know, nobody needs that to happen. But, you know, Varlamov is the Islanders guy now. And you ride with him as long as you can. But, you know, like, Sorokin, he's not ruined. It's not good. And they've got to bring back his confidence and find his game. But, you know, they're you know, Patrick Waugh and Piero Greco, who's their goalie coach, they're going to have to dedicate their summer to, you know, getting Sorokin back on his game. Like, one thing I remember, when Jacques Martin was coaching the Canadiens, there was a time that Carey Price, you know, was having a really rough stretch. And he said, I want Carey Price to be like Patrick Waugh. And then he kind of laughed and he said, I'm not the way like all you guys are thinking. He said that when Patrick Waugh had a bad game, even if it really wasn't that bad a game, but was bad by Patrick Waugh standards, he would be the first guy on the ice the next day and he wouldn't even have pucks out there. He'd just be in his crease doing the motions, like the body movement, the muscle memory, like things like that. And I just think that that is one of the things that happens, is that you have to go back to the basics. And that's what I think was going to happen with Sorokin. You just have to go back to the basics and build that guy back up. You've committed to him for 8 years. He deserved that contract. I don't think the guy forgot how to play goal. We all go through phases where our confidence dips. And now they've got to get it back. And one of the best ways to do it is to go back to the basics.
So to start the show, I read a tweet where someone said, you know, the Maple Leafs could win the Stanley Cup, Wendell Clark could become the prime minister, and Merrick would talk about the San Jose Sharks and the color of the blue lines. So in that spirit, I want to throw a name at you. We talked about the San Jose Sharks and their look for a new coach after dismissing David Quinn. Marco Sturm. So Marco Sturm coaches the Ontario Reign of the American Hockey League. Right now they're playing Bakersfield. I believe they're up 1-0 in their best of seven.
Yeah.
Sturm played with Greer with the San Jose Sharks. Marco Sturm is German, has enjoyed some success at the American Hockey League, and is looking to transition into the NHL. Does that name give you any type of soap and warm water feeling? Marco Sturm.
It's funny that, first of all, that tweeter was exactly right. Secondly, it's funny you mentioned that, Jeff, because I got a call about him this morning.
You did?
I wonder if we're talking to the same people.
Perhaps.
And if so, then I really question some of these people. no, but I did get a call about Sturm this morning.
Okay.
And it was someone said to me that, and they made a really good point. It's like when San Jose was hiring Greer, one of the things that was very important to them was we hire a shark.
Yes.
And that was meaningful to them. Mm-hmm. They told some candidates who reached out that, you know, we're not going to interview you because we want a shark. It's important that we have someone here who remembers what it was like in the glory days of this team.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when this person, they called me up and they mentioned Sturm's name, and they think that Sturm is a guy who would love that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said also too, Elliot, don't forget, like, this guy was a shark.
Yeah.
And but the thing that will be interesting to see is that still important to San Jose? Like, do they look at it and say, we want a shark?
Yeah.
Or do they look at it and say, that's not as important as getting the right guy? But it's funny that you said that, because I got a similar call.
Well, the one thing that I wonder about, too, is you look at San Jose, and this thing is all going to be built around, you know, Will Smith, and if they get the first overall pick, Macklin Celebrini, transitioning to becoming a very young team, not unlike the Chicago Blackhawks. And you've already seen what Marco Sturm can do with young kids in the American Hockey League. So we'll see where this one heads, but just keeping that name out there, head coach of the Ontario Reign, Marco Sturm. Okay, elsewhere, four games tonight around the NHL, four games tomorrow as well. Canucks and Preds. No one thinks that Thatcher Demko is going to play, even though he went on the trip. How much of an extra eye will you have on Elias Pettersson tonight?
I will obviously, like a lot of people, I'm going to have a very huge eye on Pettersson tonight. I think that I like some of his quotes that I've seen over the past couple of days. I was reading some Pettersson quotes. I thought they were good. It seemed as if he was kind of like, I understand what the issue is and I will address it. I like that. He seems calm. He seems confident. Mm-hmm. Look, it's like the same thing as Marner in Toronto. I think there's a lot of comparisons at this time of year. When things don't go well for you, particularly in Canada, but generally everywhere in the playoffs,
yeah,
it stands out. Like, everybody sees it. It stands out. And people pick you apart. It's like whenever you win, you know, people kind of stay away, but the moment you lose a game, it's like, okay, who's not going well? Whose numbers are down? And he's that guy. And like I said, I just wanted to be a bit more aggressive. Like, it's okay to impose your will on a series. And I think that's what they're trying to say. Like, it's just time to impose his will on a series.
I don't think I've ever asked you this before, and this is like, I'm not putting this question right next to an Elias Pettersson question, for this is just coincidental. But at what point in the playoffs do you assume that everybody's hurt? Again, not injured, but at what point in the playoffs do you just assume that everybody's hurt? Because by the end, the team that gets there, both teams, everybody's hurt.
Game two.
That early, eh?
Yeah, you know what? I'll say this, like after for Nashville, definitely game two.
Oh yeah.
I don't think that any of those guys are healthy after that. But I do think it's quick. Like, first of all, you can't play 82 games like you play 28, Jeff. It's just not possible.
Yeah.
But I think particularly at the end of the season, like, look at Nylander here in Toronto. He played 82 games, but something happened at the end of the year that mucked them all up. So I think that happens. So, I think in the playoffs, it's really fast. It's really quick, because I think some players, they kind of forget how much even though you're kind of prepared for yourself, okay, it's different now, it's going to be different. I think you have moments where you're like, holy cow, like, it really is different. And we've seen some cases this year in the playoffs where guys sort of get hit and they're like, you know what, you don't get hit like that in the regular season. So I think it's almost like muscle memory.
Yep.
It happens to you.
Getting comfortable with pain, or in Andrew Burnett's case, and I believe there are T-shirts coming, commit to the pain.
Nashville
Predators, that's a glorious shirt. A couple more Canadian teams in action tonight. Bottom of the hour, I'm going to talk to Jason Gregor about the Oilers and the Kings. Want to get your thoughts on the Jets and the Avalanche. Game one, we were talking about Georgiev. Game two, we're talking about Hellebuck here. What are you expecting game three? Like, is there anything we can look at and say, yeah, for sure, this is going to happen tonight? Because I don't see it.
Are you talking about Oilers LA?
No, I'm talking about Colorado-Winnipeg.
Colorado-Winnipeg. I think Winnipeg their team defense has to be better. I went back and I rewatched some stuff this morning. One of those few cases I actually do homework to be prepared for the games I'm going to be watching.
Oh my!
I decided, and you can really see, like, Colorado is offensively is doing almost everything it wants to in terms of getting into the zone and attacking in the zone. Like, those guys are tough to defend. They got a lot of big, strong, fast guys. Colorado was Colorado for a reason. But I just think Winnipeg as a group, obviously a lot of it's going to be on Hellebuck, and you're going to get scrutiny because you're the star goalie. But I also think Calgary is, or Colorado is getting to do too much of what it wants to do too easily.
You know, that's interesting. You mentioned that one very specific play, players getting to the front of the net, getting into the middle, getting to the inside. Because to me, that's been one of the most brilliant things that I've seen so far of these playoffs is Vegas is denying Dallas all of that. Like, all year, we've seen Dallas get inside. We've seen Dallas, you know, control down the middle. We've seen Dallas get high-danger shots off right in front of the nets. Vegas has shut that down.
Yes.
And now the venue shifts to T-Mobile Arena on Saturday. You have a quickie on this one?
Yeah, I gotta think Dallas is reeling, Jeff.
Yeah.
Like, just reeling. You know, like, we've got, what, four series that are 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that is the last one that anyone would have expected.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, 1-1 for sure. You know, the thing that stands out to me is that if there was any doubt that Vegas was still motivated and Vegas was still a Stanley Cup contender, it has been erased by the fact that the first thing that picked up for them during the playoffs was their D.
Yeah.
Like, if you defend, you can always win. Even if your offense is not great, if you commit to defense, you can win. And that's the one thing, like, Their offense has been okay. It's been good enough. Mm-hmm. But what really matters is they have committed to defend. And you do not win championships in this league unless you are committed to defense. And to me, that's the biggest thing, that the message that Vegas has sent over the past weeks is that they are still very much a serious threat to win it all. Mm-hmm. Because they are committed to defend. Absolutely committed to it.
You mentioned you're at the morning skate. Anything around Toronto and Boston today?
Yeah, Nylander is skating, so we'll see. We'll see if he talks today after.
Yeah.
Labushkin is not skating for the best possible reason. There was a baby delivery last night, if you saw on Instagram.
Yeah.
So this isn't 1950 anymore, where the baby comes out, show up to work the next day, no excuses. So he gets to spend the day with his expanding family.
Great.
Now Matthews is not skating. They're calling it maintenance. He was bothered by something. I'm not making excuses for game three or anything like that. I don't want anyone to think that. But I do think he was bothered by something the other day, an illness or something like that. Nothing serious.
Number 63 is what bothered him.
Yeah, that's right. He bothered a lot of people. I think Toronto, all of them were infected with that.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's anything serious, but I do think he's got like something that's been nagging at him.
Gotcha.
An illness. Not an injury, an illness.
Gotcha. All right, we'll be tuned in tonight. Three Canadian teams in action, four games on the go around the NHL, and a full day, not just evening, worth of games tomorrow on Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada. Thanks, Reed. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Jeff, your prayers are answered.
What's
you
up?
Don't have to talk to me for two full days.
I don't have to deal with you until Sunday. Oh, carefree, halcyonic bliss. I can't wait. Thank you, Reed. We'll talk soon.
All right, take care.
Elliot Friedman from 32 Thoughts and Hockey Night in Canada.